17. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. Rapidly are men ranging themselves under the banner they have chosen, restlessly waiting and watching the movements of their leaders. There are those who are watching and waiting for the Lord's repairing, while the other party are rapidly falling into line under the generalship of the great apostate. They look for God in humanity, and Satan personifies the one they see. Multitudes will be so deluded through their rejection of truth that they will accept the counterfeit. Humanity is hailed as God. As we near the close of time, there will be greater and still greater external parade of heathen power. Heathen deities will manifest their signal power and will exhibit themselves before the cities of the world. And this delineation has already begun to be fulfilled. By a variety of images, the Lord Jesus represented to John the wicked character and seductive influence of those who have been distinguished for their persecution of God's people. All need wisdom carefully to search out the mystery of iniquity that figures so largely in the winding up of Earth's history. In the very time in which we live, the Lord has called his people and have given them a message to bear. He has called them to expose the wickedness of man of sin, who has made the Sunday law a distinctive power, who has sought to change times and laws and to oppress the people of God, who stand firmly to honor him by keeping only the true Sabbath, the Sabbath of creation. The perils of the last days are upon us, and in our work, we are to warn the people of the danger therein. Let not the solemn scenes which prophecy has revealed be left untouched. If our people were half awake, if they realized the nearness of the events portrayed in Revelation, a reformation would be wrought in our churches, and many more would believe the message. We have no time to lose. God has called upon us to watch for souls as they must give an account in this last day.
Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, be most grateful and thankful once again as we see the sign being fulfilled. Once again, we are alive then, Father. Be most grateful and thankful. We take not these last closing moments of us history for granted, but we realize that it is time for us to come to search our lives and also ask our family to check their lives and make sure that they're in the faith. Be with those, Father, in radio land that continue to search for your truth, that is the truth be presented to them in any which way possibly do come, that they'll be anxious to follow it without delay. Be those in radio land that today might be suffering because of the death of their loved ones, or maybe because of illnesses or pain, that your spirit and your comfort be with them to cheer them along the way. And when all is said then, Father, we pray that your spirit will continue to wake up in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and our sins will be forgiven as once we ask for them, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. Now, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now, so you can give us a call at 322-6273. You could call for prayer, for Bible study, for question or comments based on the program that you're hearing this afternoon. Or if you want to write us, you could write us at P.O. Box N8993. P.O. Box 8993. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where you'll find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Henry. And on that note, Brother Paul has a regular article that appears in the Nassau Guardian on Thursdays that he deals with different issues, and especially those that pertain to our upcoming shows or whatever's in the news. And to bring us to that point, on April the 30th, that's April 30th, 2007, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Turning Point will be having another live call-in show, and our topic is Church and State. Should they unite? Religious liberty. Should we have religious liberty? So join us April the 30th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's commercial-free, 2 hours of talk. We want to hear what you have to say, ladies and gentlemen, and on this important matter. Also, if you want to email us, you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Please, if you have any comments or questions concerning our show, concerning future shows, concerning our call-in shows, concerning the articles Brother Paul has written in the papers, or anything that you've seen on our website, feel free to call us, write us, or email us at your earliest convenience. Now, before we go on to our subject tonight, and again, our subject this afternoon will be continuing on religious liberty, church and state, should they unite. Brother Paul will give us an update on some of the articles he has read in the newspaper this week that might have some special spiritual significance. Brother Paul.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Two of the headlines that hit the papers this week is Grand Bahama businessman was shot and killed. And there was a young man that got killed earlier in last weekend who died this week, also bringing the murder count to our country now for the year 2007 to 26. What a sad reality. I mean, we are in, ladies and gentlemen. We see these signs being fulfilled with young men taking the lives of other young men right in the prime of their life. Also, the police are very alarmed. There was an interesting story written in the paper this week and also on the television about the police being alarmed over so many murders. And the new police chief, Ellison Greenslade, I think his name is, the new assistant commissioner of police, he's right now on the charge saying that any young man that don't want to abide by the laws, the Bahamas is not a place for him, you know. But I think sometimes, could it be that our police officers are giving the criminals too much information? I don't think we need to be telling them what we are about to do. Just do what we have to do and let the news report exactly what went down, because, you know, these young men are listening. When they realize that the police is doing X, Y, Z, they're putting the plan to ABC. And before you know it, they'd be running around. As a matter of fact, just last week, there was a young man who was on the run, I think, for about 3 or 4 years. He committed a crime, and God to be thanked that someone tipped the police off and they were able to arrest that young man. So I think the time has come for us to just be a little bit quiet. I think too many times we adopt the attitude of America, where America tell the enemy what is they're doing. And before you know it, the enemy have a plan in place to try to work behind the scenes. And this is just the way the devil would have it. That's why the Bible says we must be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. So maybe this is a tip to our police officer they are listening today. Don't tell us what you're doing. Just do what you need to do and let the chips fall where they may. Or could it be you think by doing this, you know, it's going to make things? But I don't think so. I think, you know, you just need to do your job, pray to the Lord for the wisdom and guidance, and he will give it to you, because by all means, he wants law and order in our country. That's the reason why he raised up governments. And the reason why the government raises police officers and the court system, that law and order will be in our town for those who don't want to live by the law of the land. And we know if they continue to live this way, well, God forbid, you know, they'll find themselves in a fiery furnace at the end of time.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. This afternoon, again, ladies and gentlemen, we will be dealing with the topic, church and state, should they unite? Religious liberty, should we, as Bahamians in this world today, have religious liberty? Or should the government control what we can do in terms of our religion? My first question to the panel, which is made up of Brother Paul and Brother Renwick, is why should we be looking for the truth? Because, you know, when you hear people talk, they always talk about the truth. Why should we in this day and age be looking for the truth, and especially in religious matters?
The reason why we should be looking for the truth, Brother Julian, in the book of John chapter 8 verse 31, the Bible says, and you should know the truth, and the truth should set you free. Now, today, a lot of people like to quote that scripture, and they like to talk about the truth setting them free, but it's just amazing how many Christians are still in bondage today, simply because they don't want to go by the Bible standards. They want to follow the standards and the account based on other men's opinion. And when you ask them to give an account for what they believe based on the scriptures, they begin to develop an attitude as if it's, you know, you made up the scriptures or you make up the standards. No, God has made the standards, and he wants us to follow in them. And then Psalms 119, verse 45 and 46 says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. So once we are following the precepts of God, we'll walk in liberty. We'll be free from the curse of the law. We'll be free from the penalty that come upon people who transgress God's law. And by all means, that's a call going to all of us today, for us to ask the Lord for the power to walk in the truth, to walk in the light as he is in the light. For today, there's a loud cry all around us, in the Bahamas and around the world, for peace and tranquility. But, you know, but on turning point, we've given you the sad news that it will not get better, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, if you can find a scripture to show us where it would get better, then we would indeed love to read that scripture on the air. So maybe through your research, you maybe came across some hope or something that will tell us otherwise. But based on our research, it's not going to get better. But the good news is, once we're on the Lord's side, we can have peace this time in its history.
Yeah. And that was an excellent question you asked, Brother Julian. It's an unsettling thought, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, throughout Earth's history, there's been more wars and more bloodshed taking place over religion than anything else. You know, and the sad reality is that how much of that could have been avoided if man would have turned to the Word of God and looked to his word for truth rather than just following what other men have said. So much pain, so much heartache, so much strife could be avoided. And not only in terms of bloodshed, but how many are following a different path, or shouldn't say a different path, but hold on to particular beliefs that are contrary to God's word. And we know that one of the things that the Lord did say in his word, that when he comes, there are going to be many that come to him saying, "Lord, Lord," but unfortunately they're going to be turned away because they were following a lie. Let's take, for example, the historical fact of what happened with Jim Jones and all of those people that committed suicide in Jonestown because they followed a man and what he said, and thinking that they were following God, but in fact they were following a lie. So it is of extreme importance that we search out the scriptures for truth for ourselves and let the Holy Spirit lead us and not just cling on to the words of man. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." And we know that throughout his writings, the Apostle Paul was one that encouraged all believers to search the scriptures for themselves. As a matter of fact, he gave quite an encouraging word to all of us to be like those groups, a group of believers that were from Berea, called the Bereans, in that they didn't just take what the Apostle Paul said to be the truth, but they searched the scriptures to see whether or not what the Apostle Paul had said to them lined up with the scriptures, or whether or not they contradicted the scriptures, and they held fast to that which is good. And this is what we need to do today.
Thank you. I noticed that you quoted Brother Paul the text, "You should know the truth and the truth should set you free." Is this truth just for a group of people, or is this truth for everyone? Is this truth prejudice? What is this truth all about?
No, brother, this truth is for everybody. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And you know, that is that water that was offered to the young lady at the well. She was searching. As a matter of fact, she had so many husbands until she came in contact with the lovely Jesus. And Jesus began to put some questions to her, asked her to give some of the water. And she began to question, "Who are you to be asking me, a Jew, to give you some of my water?" Or a Gentile, I think she said, "You know, don't you know that we Gentiles don't keep company with the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Lady, you don't know who it is that asks you for this water. Because if you was to drink the water that I'm talking about, you will have the type of water that I'll give you. You will never thirst again." And after Jesus began to minister to her and the Holy Spirit took control of her life, she was able to go to the city and said, "Come and see a man that told me my whole life story." So the Bible is clear, whosoever will, that means everybody, that's black, white, red, yellow, sinner man who think he is righteous, whoever it is, once you take up this water of life freely, and if it's out of price, you notice that you don't have to bring no money, you don't have to bring nothing that will help you to, like, you know, in some churches they believe in penance, they believe in if you bring XYZ amount of dollars, the Lord will give you XYZ a blessing.
Indulgences,
you know, and the Bible is quite clear, you know, that once you come to him, Jesus will give you this water free. It'll be a well springing over. It'll be so much water you can't contain it to yourself, and you'll be fine to find everyone to share this good news with, because it is free. And Jessica, you and Jen, like the Apostle Paul said, freely you have received, freely you should give.
Amen. As a matter of fact, another statement from our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, and it says, speaking about the Holy Spirit, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." And in chapter 15, verse 26, he also says, "But when the Comforter has come, whom I shall send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." And we know that the Holy Spirit would not lead us into falsehood, but would lead us into truth. So it's just more scriptural evidence of why we need to study God's word for ourselves and let him lead us into truth, and not read novels and wisdom of men to search for truth.
Brother Paul, this question, Brother Henrik, this question of church and state has been, I guess, a subject that we have studied for a little while, including that of religious liberty. But let's do a little history. Could you give us maybe, I won't say the first incident, but an early incident of where God's people were held and denied their freedom by the state?
The first incident that was recorded in the Bible is in the days of Pharaoh, when Pharaoh had God's people hold them captive, and Lord sent a message to Pharaoh, asked him to let his people go. And you know, the story is told how Pharaoh, at one point, he began to decide he would let God's people go, and at one point he said he will not let them. He went backward and forward until the Lord just got tired of him, and eventually Pharaoh decided he would let God's people go. And the story is told how when Pharaoh decided to let them go, Pharaoh still made up his mind he would go and try to take them back. And we know the story well, the Lord allowed the waters to part, the sea to part, and they went through on dry land. You know, and it was all over. The Lord wanted his people to keep his Ten Commandments, and Pharaoh would not let them go. And this is actually when the Ten Commandments was first spoken verbally to God's children. And the Lord told him in that day that, hey, it was me who brought you out of bondage, out of a house of bondage, meaning the house of bondage Pharaoh had them in. And today, even today, men are still holding God's children in bondage. Don't want to let them go to serve God how they want to serve them. And today they will just give you partially, just parts of the gospel instead of the whole gospel. Like in my article I wrote last week, the question I asked when last, if you're a minister of the gospel ever, he did a thorough study on the Ten Commandments, went through each one of them, explaining them based on the scripture's account. Because you know, David said these commandments are exceedingly broad. The apostle Paul said, by this law is the knowledge of sin. And today there's sin all through our country, spread in the area of young men taking each other's lives. My heart goes to these young men. You know, I was thinking about this with these young men. You know, it's a war going on between the young men. Very rare you will see businessmen get killed unless, you know, they get killed in a crossfire, or, you know, accidentally they just get killed because when the robber comes to hold them, if he decides that, you know, he just really want to rob him, but somebody along the line, they just accidentally got shot. I don't really believe those guys who went to rob them actually went there to kill them. But, you know, there's a war going between young men. We need to pray for our young men that they'll realize that, hey, Satan is on the move here. He's stuffing them out at a very young life. But the problem is, are the parents and are the ministers of the gospel taking time out to teach them God's moral Ten Commandments law, the standard? As a matter of fact, the Ten Commandments, which is a transcript of the character of God, is the only thing we're going to take to heaven with us. And if this only, if only our character is going to be in transfer from earth to heaven, then why is it we trying to prepare our lives if we're going to be here forever, building expensive homes and driving expensive cars? If we're just passing, if we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through, if we're ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then why don't we live for him? Why don't we show the world that we are forsaking the world and looking forward to our Lord and Savior's soon return, which will not be long from now?
You know, when we look through the pages of history, we see two examples where many people, not just Christians, were severely persecuted because of the combining of church and state powers. As a matter of fact, back in ancient Rome, when the emperor of Rome had died, Constantine, he turned over the authority and the rulership of Rome to the then bishop of Rome that came to be known as the Pope. And unfortunately, the persecutions didn't stop. As a matter of fact, history tells us that those persecutions intensified, and that that those individuals that would not join with the church or had a different religious persuasion, they were severely persecuted because of their beliefs. And this continued on and on through history. As a matter of fact, those people that came to America, that founded America, they actually fled from Europe because of religious persecution, severe religious persecution that took place in Europe. And this is the reason why they came to America, looking for a land where they could live in freedom and to practice their religious beliefs without the threat of the sword and without being compelled to follow another man's beliefs. And there's just one statement I'd like to read from one of the founders of America, and his name was James Madison. And he said, he said, "No man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be in force, restrained, molested, or burdened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief, but that all men shall be free to profess by an argument to maintain their opinion in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. And this is such a, this is just one of many strong statements that we can find in history books by not only the founders of the United States, but even prominent men in religious circles that stood up and said that no one should be compelled to worship or follow any particular religious system by another man, but in fact that freedom is a God-given right, and every man should be free to live and to worship as he sees fit.
I just like to add, currently on this week I got a letter from one of our listeners, and also a lady that I send the newsletter to every week, and she sent a letter back with an interesting question here. She says, Christians are to pray for governments. But then she asks this question, but why can't we be in government? But why can't I get the we are? Why can't Christians be in governments to influence governments? Well, you know, well, last week I was able to go by The Guardian, and they helped me with some information from some of the years when the church was in big dispute over should the Sunday law be open, should it be changed, or should it remain the same. And I came across a very few interesting articles there from The Guardian. I'd like to thank Ms. Neely publicly for helping me and assist me in this area, and also The Guardian for storing these things in their archive. Because during this time, you know, I was in paying attention, keeping these articles. But, you know, one article I came across called Thousands Break the Law on Sundays by our then Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham. And he said, you know, that he did a surveillance for himself. And this surveillance, he said, this surveillance that he did is so serious that if he was assured, a lot of people would be embarrassed. And, you know, I encourage you, if you want to know exactly what went on, that to go down there and, you know, see if you can get these articles for yourself. And we had a lot of comments coming from Minister of the Gospel that we'll read during the previous, on the upcoming weeks, on what they had to say about this thing about Sunday shopping. You know, and the sad part about this is these ministers that push for the government to don't go forward, trying to open up the scale of Sunday shopping a little bit wider, you know, if they love their neighbors as they love themselves, then why didn't they do the same thing for the Seventh Adventists? Why didn't they ask the government to offer the same privilege they're looking for on Sunday to be offered on Saturday? I mean, if the ministers of the gospel and if Christians are to love their neighbors as they love themselves, then like the Seventh Adventists, we too push for Sunday worship to have that day off if they choose that a day of worship. Although we know that God does not approve of this day of worship, but by all means, we don't try to say, okay, because God does not approve, we're going to try to pass some law to shut it down. So I think our brothers on the other side who worship on Sunday should also go to the government, do all in their power that we have the liberty to maneuver on Saturday, like how they ask the government to give them power to maneuver on Sunday. These are just some of the things I wanted to think about as we think of, and matter of fact, that's the scripture they love to use when they try to do away with the Ten Commandments. You must love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you just go a few verses up, Jesus said that on these two, the law and the prophets, and any quote of the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
I also have another quote from our friends in the Mormon Church, and this is very interesting and a very strong statement that they had put out on this subject, and they said, no domination of the state by the church, no church interference with the functions of the state, no state interference with the functions of the church, or with the free exercise of religion, the absolute freedom of the individual from the domination of ecclesiastical authority in political affairs, the equality of all churches before the law.
Thank you. As we look in our society today, I'm wondering why are we so concerned about religious liberty when we seem to have all the freedoms that we can enjoy? I mean, you know, you hear about gay rights and women's rights and white rights and black rights and... So why are we concerned about that?
The reason why I'm concerned about it, Brother Joe, is because it's predicted in prophecy. It's predicted in Revelation chapter 13. The time will come when men will be forcing people to do what is right. And if they don't, they'll be killed. Now, a lot of our Christian brothers in the Christian community believe that this will take place. But the sad reality is what they're teaching is that they're teaching that, yes, it will take place, but it will take place after the church is raptured. And when I read through this document that I got under dispute on Sunday shopping from The Guardian, I mean, I was amazed of how many ministers were trying to push, you know, for Sunday shopping to be closed down. I mean, I have some comments here from Mrs. Janet Boswick, who was one of the governmental officials at the time. I have a comment coming from Reverend Dr. Sanders and Reverend Dr. Simon Hall, and also Pastor Myers Monroe. And they had some very interesting comments. As a matter of fact, Pastor Monroe was the only pastor at the time on the record saying that he don't think Sunday shopping should be of any great deal because it's a tradition. And Jesus speaks very strongly on the word tradition. He says, why is it you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? See, tradition is going to cause a lot of us to be lost at the end of time. There are some people holding on to the tradition that they can marry as much people as they want because Old Testament prophets did that. But God did not put their stamp of approval upon it. But if they should go back in time, they know that most ministers of the gospel and most congressmen and most world leaders were against people trying to force laws upon them. I have a statement coming from a Baptist minister in the 18th century. His name is Isaac Buckus. And he says, religion is a matter between God and the individual. The imposing of the religious test has been the greatest engine of tyranny in the world. So he says, whenever the government imposes religion as a test upon people, it is the greatest engine for tyranny. And we know that word tyranny is not a good word. It's a word of chaos. It's a word that's going to be used to bring people into line. And it's all going to spring up because there's so much crime and violence in the world. But ladies and gentlemen, let it be known, God never forces anyone to follow him or his rules. He always pleads with you. He always goes beyond the call on the call of duty to follow him, and he pleads with you. And that's why he says in John 14:15, if you love me, little ones, keep my commandments. He could very well force you to do it, but because he loves you so much, he chose not to.
You know, we often have to think about these things, and particularly in light of world events. Is it right for the Christian to force his beliefs on another individual because the Christian believes that his belief is correct? Well, most in the church would say, okay, well, since this is a Christian nation, then Christians should make the laws and compel people to do as a church see fit. Well, I shouldn't say most, but many, because I've spoken to many individuals and they do hold fast to that belief. And, you know, we even see from as a matter of public record where many religious leaders try to force their belief or their will on the government for the government to make certain legislation to go along with what the church wants to do. But, you know, if it is wrong for the Taliban or religious extremists in one part of the world to force their beliefs on another individual, even by gunpoint or the point of the sword, is it then right for those who call themselves Christians to force their beliefs on another? I mean, nowhere in the Bible can we find any support for this. As a matter of fact, I think, like you said, Brother Paul, history predicts that the time will come where worship will be forced and enforced. And something that we take for granted today, but it's something when we look through the pages of prophecy of what is to come, something that we need to look upon in light of God's word and be humble about it and respect the beliefs of others.
What I'd like to say is Minneapolis has been going pretty well. You know, we're going to ask you to, if you have not really went to our web page to be a part of our Minneapolis, that's www.tpministries.org. You can click on the mini poll segment there and you can just pick a part of our mini poll. Our question on mini poll is, do you believe in church and state separation? A few people have ended up like to tell you thank you publicly, but more of you can go there and if you want to send a comment like this young lady that sent a comment asking a very important question, why is it that Christians cannot be involved in government? Yes, we can pray for them, but why can't we be involved with them? There's nothing wrong with a person working with the government, but when you want to be a part of the government, I think your hands are tied based on what we see here in the Bahamas, because you don't have freedom of speech in the government, in the reigning government. I know there are two MPs, I heard them say publicly that when you're in the government, you got to do what the government says. And if you don't do what the government says, you must write your resignation paper. Well, that's a sad state to be in. And this is why I believe God don't want his children to be involved in political things. Just continue to serve him and he will lead you all the way.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to share your word and to those that are in the listening audience. And we take the opportunity to thank you, Lord, for our freedom, something that we often take for granted, but we know it's something that is most precious and it's a gift that's given from you. And we pray that as this nation goes forward and individuals go forward on a day-to-day basis, that we would turn to your word for the light of truth, and that your word and your Holy Spirit would be our guide in all things, as we know that you're soon to come. Thank you and bless your name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Father. And don't forget, our upcoming call-in show will be April the 30th from 8 to 10 p.m. Join us right here on 1540.
This is Renrick Bowe.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.